Hey everybody, I just wanted to give you a quick reminder that we've just got about 10 days left. I've got a big sale going on. All of my books are half price. Kindles are just $5. If you want the full transcript of these interviews, such as Jim Van Cannon, these are just $6. This is going on just through September 15th, 2017. So please go to Amazon.com, just do a quick search for Gospel Tangents, and you'll pull these up. Jim Van Cannon, member of the First Presidency of the Remnant Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. David Rosenvall has a theory of the Book of Mormon in the Baha. Darren Smith, big expert on BYU and black sports athletes. Also, Paul Reeve, Dr. Paul Reeve from the University of Utah. Dr. Richard Bennett, BYU professor on the Kirtland Temple. And, of course, Brian Hales on polygamy. I've also got Kurt Bench, but I actually gave away my copy. So anyway, get those. That sale goes on just for about another 10 days or so, maybe even less than that when you're listening to this. It's going to end soon, so get your copies now. We'd really appreciate your support so that we can produce some documentaries on Mormon history. Thanks a lot. Some people have been critical of Dr. Ugo Perrigo's work, especially with regards to these paternity tests. We'll talk about one of these critics and his criticisms. Is there something that Dr. Perrigo is hiding?
In my little realm of genetic studies, I'm also trying to be very transparent. When I find something, I try to publish it. And when I publish, I try to make available all the techniques and the processes and how I build that study and how I reach those conclusions, and I put the data there so that people can see it, and you can, which is one requirement in science. You should be able to give enough information to others that if they want to duplicate the study and make sure that they reach the same conclusion, they are able to do so, right? It shouldn't be like I know that this guy is not Joseph Smith's son, and I'm not going to tell you how I know it, right? That doesn't work like that in science. But, of course, I cannot share the name of people that give me their DNA samples because of privacy. I'm telling you maybe the ancestor or the line from where I found this individual. Then I code the names, I use some IDs. And I've been accused of not being transparent because I don't reveal the names of the people that have been tested. But scientifically, you cannot do that. That will be the day that I be prevented from doing any more science. There is every donor has to be sign a consent form and treat their data anonymously. There is no way around it.
I think there was a guy, Scott Rowley, who's probably giving you a little bit of a hard time.
He wanted a lot more interaction that I allowed him to have. I'm sorry if he feels like I dismiss him or
blew him off.
Eh?
Blew him off.
Blew him off. Yes, I think it's that. But the little that he had approached me was not, I think, the best way. He could have done a lot better way. It wasn't clear. It wasn't transparent. He didn't tell me up front what was he up to. His sandstone presentation, I wasn't there, but I had several friends that went to it, took pictures. And he was not the nicest guy in my regards. And if this is how you want to work together, And then what else? The other thing was like, what does it really have to bring to the table for this research that I already don't have, besides the fact to have a piece of it? And scientists don't do that either. We are protective of our research. Generally speaking, every scientist is like that. You work with people that can help move forward something, but not with people that are just curious or bystanders or don't have the expertise you need to. And so I never heard from him, but again, I never really trying to engage too much because I realized very soon that whatever thing I would tell him, he would use it some other way. I had no control on the type of information that. I don't know what he's been doing. His website has not been active.
Yeah, his website went shut down.
I read a white paper he put on the website with regard of his project, and he talked about me a lot in that white paper. I don't know if you have a chance to read that. and almost every single information in it was incorrect. And if that was the way that he was building his information base, you know, it's like, this is the accuracy level that this is bringing. I was like, then who knows what else he's going to do if you give them more information, you know? So that white paper was really like, it confirmed me that I should have not been involved with whatever he wanted to do.
Hmm. Yeah, I know he's pretty antagonistic towards the church, but.
Well, that wasn't the reason. He didn't present. I received lots of emails about people that are curious about Joseph Smith offspring and my research, and I honestly answered to every one of them. I give everybody the
professionalism or
Of the doubt.
The benefit of the doubt.
The benefit of the doubt. Thank you. I give everyone the benefit of the doubt and I answer as if it's really a person they want to really know. And then sometimes that's really, you know, more often than not is that's the case. And in other cases, there are some follow-up emails or somebody forwarded me something from some forum, you know, that what I say has been posted there. And it's like, well, that's not really how, you know, why didn't you tell me, you know, who you were, what you wanted, you know, up front? Why did you have to kind of pretend to be somebody else? And then, you know, and that kind of shuts doors all the time, you know. That closes the door very quick with me.
Yeah, no, I understand. So I was at the presentation, and I remember he was kind of like, well, Dr. Perego's hiding something, and I don't know why he won't help, so we're just going to figure it out ourselves. But and he's like, and I got $100 for anybody that wants to take a test if you're a descendant of, you know, Josephine Lyon or Joseph Smith or whatever. So.
And I actually was recruited by the Josephine Lyon descendants. That's how the whole project started. It was you have to understand that there are people here. No matter how curious you are about history and how much of a National Geographic experience it is for you, or a Discovery Channel, whatever it is, there are real people involved. People that are alive, people that are descendants of these individuals. And they have a relationship with their ancestors that is a lot different than you have with them, okay? You look at them as historical figures that you can trash, play with, speculate it, say whatever you want about them. But to some people, that's family. And they feel very tender about their ancestors. They are here on the earth because these people existed, right? And you have to have that respect. And you have to build that trust. I am very likely that I met individuals that have introduced me to other individuals and to be able to and I feel very much part of the family with regard of more than a friend. Really, they welcome me with regard of Josephine descendants and the trust that they have bestowed on me, but also with Joseph Smith descendant. Last year, I was invited to be at the Joseph Smith family reunion in Nauvoo. And everyone there was a direct descendant. I was one of the two individuals there that was not a Smith descendant, right? But was allowed to be there. And I just happened to be in Nauvoo because that's where I have my home, and I was there visiting. And they happened to be there, and then somebody's like, you know, hey, we're having these things, we want to be part of it. I was like, I got my T-shirt, my name tag, I got to present it, I got to eat with them, I got to be the family picture, you know? And I'm like, what is this, you know? And that's, you know, 10 years or more of working with them and trying to answer questions with regard of their family without making it sensational, without making it derogatory, you know? Just kind of like, hey, you know, we're trying to explore some questions that are unanswered that maybe you as a family want to have an answer as well, right? I mean, the Irish connection, this is important to the family to know that type of details, the type of information. They might take it seriously or not, but, you know, it's their ancestry, not mine, right? If these descendants of other polygamous children are indeed Smith, they should be involved in the family reunion. They're family, they're cousins, we know. We need to know, right? Well, we need to know if they're not, so they stop bugging us, you know, and wanted to come to these reunions or whatever, you know, but whatever reason. I always try to be very respectful and think about, you know, besides the DNA that you see on a computer or the kid or the history, that there are actual real people alive with sentiments, with feelings, with concerns, with worries, you know, about privacy, about misuse of data, right? And all it takes is one bad example or occurrence, and then you kind of ruin the trust, right? And I value that. I value that. And so when Scott was working and he had his approach, this is what the Josephine DeSantis told me. His approach totally turned them off. They were absolutely not interested in working with him because the way that he approached the research, the project.
Yeah, I actually remember one of them actually kind of got up and defended you to him.
Right. So I think that because they knew about this, they read it and they spread the word, and then a few went there, and a few were there at the MHA. And I actually wish I had such a little time, and I'm always kind of a little bit nervous when I'm in front of a lot of people. One regret I have about that presentation, Snowbird last year, was not to acknowledge their presence. I really wish that we could have had them stand up.
The lions.
We had maybe 6 or 7 of them sitting together during my presentation. They already knew the results. I already presented to them because I wanted to. That's another thing. So we met, we had dinner together a few weeks before, and I was like, this is what I'm going to present at MHA. And I did the whole presentation to them. It's like, is there anything that I'm saying here that you find objectionable or offensive or the concern about, right? And, when they gave me the okay, then I felt like, and then they were there sustaining me in that, that was important. But I forgot to acknowledge their presence. I wish I could have done that. If I could go back in time, that's the one thing I would do different.
I hope you enjoyed our discussion with Dr. Ugo Perrego. We'll turn a little bit away from paternity tests and turn to the Mountain Meadows Massacre. It turns out that Dr. Ugo Perrego has been involved in 2 DNA tests with regards to that unfortunate incident back in 1857.
The record said that only 17 of these 18 children were identified and returned to relatives to Arkansas. So who was the 18th child, right? What happened to this child? Who was it? And as years went by, there have been rumors that one of these child was the oldest daughter of Bishop Klingsmith, who was involved with the massacre. So he is there, right?
So the daughter was essentially adopted by Bishop Klingsmith.
That's what the claim was, okay? The 18th child was the one that was no return, right?
Click here to subscribe, click here for a transcript, and over here you'll see some other videos that we've done here on YouTube. We hope you'll use this as a valuable resource to learn more about Mormon history.